Is it a hanging?
An eager newspaper delivery boy asked no one in particular. He was short, just 13 years old, and was jumping up and down in an effort to obtain a better view of whatever it was that had created the vaudeville atmosphere. It wasn't much past dawn, and there was still hardly any light in the sky. But that had not failed to deter a party crowd of motley provenance from gathering outside the gates of Holloway Prison. Half of the throng were up early. The other half seemed not to have been to bed yet. Many of the congregation were in evening dress, the men in dinner jackets or white tie and tails, the women shivering in flimsy backless silk beneath their furs. The boy could smell the tired miasma of alcohol, perfume and tobacco that drifted around them. Toffs, he thought. He was surprised that they were happily rubbing shoulders with lamplighters and milkmen and early shift workers, not to mention the usual riffraff and rubberneckers who were always attracted by the idea of a show, even if they had no idea what it might be. The boy did not count himself amongst the latter number. He was merely a curious bystander to the follies of the world.
"Is it a hanging?"
he persisted, tugging at the sleeve of the nearest toff, a big, flushed man with an acrid cigar plugged in his mouth and an open bottle of champagne in his hand. The boy supposed that the man must have begun the evening in pristine condition, but now the stiff white front of his waistcoat was stained with little dots and splashes of food, and the shiny patent of his shoes had a smattering of vomit. A red carnation, wilted by the night's excesses, drooped from his buttonhole.
"Not at all," the toff said, swaying affably. "It's a cause for festivities. Old Mark Coker is being released."
The boy thought that Old Mark Coker sounded like someone in a nursery rhyme. A woman in a drab gabardine on his other side was carrying a piece of cardboard that she held in front of her like a shield. The boy had to crane his neck to read what was written on it. A furious pencil hand had scored into the cardboard, "The labour of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin," Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16. The boy mouthed the words silently as he read them, but he made no attempt to decipher the meaning. He had been press-ganged into Sunday school attendance every week for 10 years and had managed to pay only cursory attention to the subject of sin.
"Your very good health, madam," the toff said cheerfully, raising the champagne bottle towards the drab woman and taking a swig. She glowered at him and muttered something about Sodom and Gomorrah.
The boy wormed his way forward to the front of the crowd, where he had a good view of the imposing gates. Wooden with iron studs, more suited to a medieval fortress than a women's prison. If there had been three of the boy, each standing on the shoulders of the one below, like the Chinese acrobats he had seen at the Hippodrome, then the one at the peak might have just reached the arched apex of the doors. Holloway had an air of romance for the boy. He imagined beautiful, helpless girls trapped inside its thick stone walls, waiting to be saved, primarily by himself. On hand to document the excitement was a photographer from the Empire News, identified by a card stuck jauntily in his hatband. The boy felt a kinship. They were both in the news business after all. The photographer was taking a group portrait of a bevy of beauties. The boy knew about such young women because he was not above leafing through the tattlers and bystanders that he pushed through the letterboxes once a week. The beauties, unlikely in this neighbourhood, were posing in front of the prison gates. Three looked to be in their 20s and sported plush fur against the early morning cold. The fourth, too young to be a beauty, was in a worsted school coat. All four were striking elegant poses as if for a fashion plate. None of them seemed a stranger to the admiring lens. The boy was smitten. He was easily smitten by the female form.